All right, Matthew 27 in your Bibles this morning. Matthew 27. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. And I would like to read starting in verse 15. Verse 15. And in verse 15, we read these words. Now, at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. This was just a goodwill gesture on the behalf of the Roman hierarchy, trying to curry favor among the Jews, the people over which they ruled. And so it was kind of a standard thing that the governor would release one prisoner. And in verse 16 we read, and they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Barabbas. Bar-Abbas. Bar-Abbas. Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ, the Messiah? Who do you want, this criminal or your Messiah? Verse 18, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? She was talking about Jesus. Don't have anything to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priest and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. I want you to keep your Bible open to this passage. And I want to speak to you this morning a message that I've entitled, Barabbas or Jesus. Folks, I submit to you that right here in these verses is the very heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together and then the message, Barabbas or Jesus. And you listen for the heart of the gospel. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the privilege we have to open a Bible this morning in church. There is no one here threatening us. There is no one here intimidating us. We have the freedom and we have the liberty to open the Bible and to preach the Word of God. We do not sit here in fear that someone will crash the doors and make us stop. We have the liberty to proclaim what the Bible has to say. So, Father, help us not to take that privilege lightly. But may we listen this morning as if our eternity hinges upon what is about to be said. Because, Lord, surely for someone, their eternity does hinge on this message. So give us ears to hear today. I pray the Holy Spirit to bless and guide my thoughts and help me as I speak. And I pray that you will help folks to listen. I pray that the distractions will be to a very minimum, and that we will hang on every word that we hear. And then, Lord, would you speak to our hearts and draw us to the Savior's side. Bless now, we ask. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I know that I have preached on Barabbas in the past. I cannot remember when it was. I do, however, remember preaching in the past on Barabbas. But I can assure you this is a new message that I am preaching this morning. I just prepared it this week. I want you to imagine a Roman dungeon. And down in the lowest part of that dungeon is a man languishing on the floor with chains around his hands, around his wrists, and around his ankles, and probably around his neck. And those chains are securing him to a cold, damp, rat-infested wall. He has been sentenced to death for robbery, for murder, and for insurrection. You see, since the Roman occupation began, the Jewish people resisted their invaders. And it never ended well for those who would dare to stand against the might and power of Rome. And it certainly did not end well for Barabbas. Those who chose to resist had to plunder. They had to steal and, in many cases, commit murder in order to survive. And it is always eventually that they were caught, but they eventually were caught. On this morning, from which I read the passage, Barabbas is down in that jail cell. He hears commotion, and so he listens intently to what is going on. And when he listens, fear begins to grip his heart. Outside his cell, he heard an angry mob. He knew what wild animal, devilish thirst for blood sounded like. He had cried for it himself before he was locked away. So when he heard the mob outside, he knew that it did not bode well for him. They were probably crying for his blood. And so he listened intently. He listened better than he had ever listened before. And he heard them shout, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And then the roar died down. And he could hear someone speaking, but he could not make out what was being said. And then all of a sudden, the roar of the crowd came rushing back into his cell again. And he heard those fateful words, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And then he heard another sound that made his heart sink. He heard his own name being shouted by the mob. Barabbas! Barabbas! Why were they calling his name? Were they not aware that he was to be crucified in just a few hours? Why were the people calling his name? But you see, what Barabbas could not hear was the lone voice of Pontius Pilate, the governor of the land. And Pilate was bargaining with the Sanhedrin and with the mob over what to do with Jesus. Pilate was determined to let Jesus go, but the Sanhedrin would not hear of it. Pilate argued with them, and he said, "I have interrogated this man, and I find no fault in him." Do you know why Pilate could find no fault in him? Because there was no fault in him. And while this debate was going on, Pilate's own wife came to him and bent his ear and begged him not to execute an innocent man, saying that she had been troubled in a dream while she tossed and turned on her bed that morning. But the people would not stop, and they called on Pilate to honor a custom of releasing a prisoner on the Jewish holiday. And that was when Barabbas heard his own name being called. Pilate asked the question that Barabbas could not hear. "Whom shall I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus?" And the mob began to cry, "Barabbas, Barabbas." And that's why Barabbas could hear his name even down in the jail cell. You see, Barabbas, think of this, Barabbas is not an actual name. Barabbas is a title. It is the union of two words. Bar, meaning the son of. You remember that Jesus Peter's name was Simon Bar Jonah, Simon the son of Jonah. And this man's name is a title. He is simply called in Scripture Barabbas, Bar the son of Abbas, father, son of the father. Many think that he was the son of a rabbi, as the Jews were prone to call a rabbi father. And that's what the word rabbi is. It is the word Abbas, son of the father. I think it's also interesting. I read this. I cannot prove it because I do not have access to the ancient manuscripts. But I read where one, and there are over 5,000 manuscripts in existence today that all agree with each other. And I read where there is one ancient manuscript of the New Testament which tells us the name of this man, Barabbas. And ironically, if it is true, this text says that it is, this manuscript says that it is, and that manuscript says that Barabbas's name was Jesus. Kind of ironic, isn't it? Think of that, folks. His name, Barabbas's name, real name, was the same as our Savior. But he was commonly called Barabbas, the son of the father. If his name was indeed Jesus, then the name of each of these prisoners was Jesus, Savior. But Barabbas, we know, was set free, and Jesus was crucified. Now, there are just two things that I call to your attention this morning. The first thing I want you to see is this. I want you to notice the amazing and shocking preference of the people here. Every time I read this, I cannot help but see how Pontius Pilate was truly shocked and amazed at the choice the people made in this chapter. One was a just man, but the other was an obvious thief and killer. You will remember a little later on in the book of Acts, just a few weeks later, in that great sermon that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he would look at these very men who were members of the Sanhedrin, who are here before Pilate, arguing for Pilate to execute Jesus. And Peter would point his finger right in their faces and accuse them of murdering the Lord Jesus Christ. He stuck his finger out and said that they denied the Holy One and just, and that they desired a murderer. I'm amazed at the choice that these people made. To me, it seems incredible that they would choose a killer over Christ. These men all knew that Barabbas was a murderer. And they knew that Jesus was a good man, that he had helped people, that he had healed multitudes, and that all he did was go about doing good. And yet we see the choice of these people, and we hear them cry, "Release unto us Barabbas." A blood-stained killer was preferred over the Savior of the world. And yet, folks, that is the choice that is still echoing today. Whenever the world chooses today, it sadly often makes the wrong choice. The world rejects the way, the truth, and the life, and instead chooses the evil and the lie and the way of death. Wherever Jesus as a person, wherever Jesus as a principle, wherever Jesus as an institution, or wherever Jesus as a way of life is rejected, there Barabbas is again chosen. And that to me has been the hardest thing to understand about our society. I cannot understand why anyone would dare to reject Christ and embrace Barabbas. They did it here, and I'm telling you, men are still doing it today. And I want you to notice from Scripture that God only gives us one of two choices to make as we go through life. They only had one of two choices, Barabbas or Christ. They chose Barabbas. Do you remember when Elijah was on Mount Carmel? And the Bible says that he stood up and he challenged the people. And he said to them, "Choose you this day. Choose who you'll serve." He said to them, "How long halt ye between," help me, "two opinions? If God be God, then serve him. But if Baal be God, then serve Baal." How long halt ye between two opinions? Folks, God only gives us one of two ways in which to choose. When Joshua gathered the elders around him while he was on his deathbed, he looked at the people and said to them, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, either the God of the Amorites or the God of heaven." And he only gave them one of two options, two choices. Then he looked at them and he said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And then you'll remember the Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. He was preaching that great sermon and he said, there's only one of two ways you can go. There is the straight and narrow way which leads to life, or there is the broad way that leads to destruction. But either way, those are our only choices, one of two ways. And here was a choice for these people, Jesus or Barabbas. And sadly, they made the wrong choice. Oh, dear friend, listen, choose wisely in the matter of your eternity. If you make the wrong choice for your eternity, I want to serve notice on you, it is the wrong choice for eternity. make the right choice. And here, Pontius Pilate made the wrong choice, and he paid dearly for it. Tradition says that Pilate, shortly after this, was relieved of his duties, and that he went absolutely mad, crazy. The tradition says that he went to live on an island out in the northern Mediterranean and spent the rest of his days sitting in a chair, mumbling and babbling to himself, and literally went crazy with guilt. Make the right choice, folks. Make the right choice. Barabbas or Christ? And Pilate was shocked at the choice these people made. Second thing I want you to see, this is so simple, right on the surface, and here it is. Barabbas lived because Jesus died. Think of it, folks. Barabbas lived because Jesus died. If that crowd on that day had asked for Jesus instead of Barabbas, then instead of Jesus being crucified between two thieves, there would have been three thieves hanging on those crosses, and the one in the middle would have been Barabbas instead of Christ. But Barabbas was freed, and Jesus was nailed to the cross. And folks, what I want you to see this morning is this event is a picture of the very centerpiece of the gospel. This picture, this story, what happened here is the very heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus took Barabbas's place. Where the guilty should have died, the guilty went free, and the innocent took his place. Can you imagine how Barabbas felt when a soldier came to him, took a key, and took off the shackles, and looked him in the eye and said, "You're free to go, sir. Get out of here. You are now a free man." Can you imagine how Barabbas must have felt when he walked away a free man while Jesus suffers and dies? Think of it, folks. The son of the father, Barabbas, Bar-Abbas, the son of the father goes free while the son of God dies in his stead. Can you not imagine that Barabbas thought 1,000 times that day to himself, "Wow, that man died for me. If that man had not died, then I would have died." You see, folks, Jesus died in the place of that terrible old sinner. But isn't that principle the central and glorious truth of the cross? That is what the gospel message is all about. Isaac Watts wrote a hymn that says, "Guilty, vile, and helpless we. Spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior." The sinner goes free while the Savior takes his place in death. As the Apostle Paul put it, "The just died for the unjust that he might bring us to God." And folks, I am sure that Barabbas stood there watching Jesus have to endure all of that humiliation and all of that torture and all of the agony of the cross. And he had to realize that something far beyond his understanding had just happened to him. Do you think that Barabbas ran as far away from Jerusalem as his legs would carry him? I don't think he did. I think he probably stood on the sidelines and watched as this whole thing unfolded. And when they placed the cross upon our Savior's back and marched him through the streets of Jerusalem. I think that Barabbas was probably standing there watching this and thinking to himself, wow, that man is carrying my cross. I think when Barabbas saw the blood pouring out of his hands and out of his feet and running down his brow from the crown of thorns. And I think that Barabbas was probably standing there thinking, wow, it should have been my hands and it should have been my feet that felt the crushing pain of those nails. His blood ought to be my blood. But instead, the guilty go free and the innocent paid the price. And in Barabbas, we see the crowning glory of why the Lord Jesus came to this earth. You see, folks, he came so that we might live. That's why he came. The Son of God came to take the Son of Man's place, the sons of men's place. In other words, the Son of God came to take your place. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us is Barabbas. From the beginning, when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, an innocent lamb was brought to an altar, and that innocent lamb had its blood shed to make an atonement for sin. Just think, if you will, folks, through the millennia, think of the multiplied thousands of innocent little lambs that had to die. Every one of them that was brought was kicking and screaming to get away. But no, they were forced on that altar, and they their blood was shed. Each one of those lambs pointed to the day when finally the Lamb of God came to become the sacrifice for our sin. And on this day that I read for you from Matthew 27, on this day, God's innocent lamb was slain. And to show us how God's plan of salvation works for every man, God put this story in the Bible for us. God had this guilty, vile, filthy, old sinner named Barabbas, who was as guilty as he can be, Barabbas, the son of the Father, as a representative for all of us, a picture of you and me. And in the picture, God's Lamb goes to the cross to die, and the filthy sinner goes free. Oh my. Paul said it this way in Romans 5:8. But God commendeth. That word commendeth means demonstrated. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus dies so Barabbas could live. Jesus dies so that you and I could be free. But the truth is, Barabbas, out of all these people standing around the cross, out of all these people that were watching this, Barabbas was the greatest and the grandest preacher, the most eloquent messenger that he could be standing there watching this. For by his escape from the cross, he tells us that Jesus died so that sinners like us might live. Now the question is this: have you accepted God's offer? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Did he die for you? Yes, he did. Would you trust him today? The Lord Jesus said, whosoever will may come. The Lord Jesus said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And to show us that Jesus died for every man, woman, and child, God had this man, Barabbas, right here in the middle of it all. Think about that. God had this man, a man who was guilty, a man who had been tried and found guilty, a man who had been sentenced by a group of his peers and found guilty, sentenced to die, a man that deserved to die because of his crimes. But to demonstrate and to illustrate God's love and grace, this man goes free and Jesus dies in his place. And I don't think anyone in this room has ever done anything that compares to the record that Barabbas had accumulated in his short life. So if God could let him go free, I think the message to us is pretty clear. God can forgive your sin and God can let you go free as well. You say, but Pastor, I do not deserve that kind of forgiveness. Folks, that's the point. None of us do. There is not a single sinner in this room, and we're all sinners in this room. There is not a single sinner in this room that deserves this kind of grace that was offered to Barabbas. And that's why we sung a few moments ago, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You know, the truth is, you are Barabbas this morning. You are a son of the Father. You are here because God the Father is the giver of life. You would not be here if it were not for God. You are a son of the Father. That means that the Son of God took your place and died so you could go free. Question is, will you trust him today? Barabbas or Jesus? I don't think that's a difficult choice.